Hello, and welcome to the Andy Choi Show, where you can sample all the great things New York has to offer. For the next 60 minutes, I'll not only clue you into some great things to do around town, but we'll also chat with some interesting local personalities. Tonight's guests include fashion guru Nolé Marin and Frank Viele and the Manhattan Project. But first, our shameless plugs. For those of you who haven't read my anti-aging book, Living Young, 32 Habits of Ageless People, there's no time like the present. It's always the right time to stay young and get healthy. Also, if you're going to live a long time, you might as well enjoy it. So check out my DVD, The Bedroom Workout for Men, on how to improve men's sexual performance through exercise. Both are available on Amazon.com and my website, AndyTroy.com. Remember that if you bring my book to any of my events, I will be happy to autograph it for you. Speaking of which, our next event will be on Thursday, June 3rd, from 7 to 11 p.m. at The Griffin, located at 90 Gansevoort Street, New York's trendy meatpacking district. It will be a great night, so come and join us. The details for this and all my monthly events are on my website, tastingnyc.com. My good friend and producer John Anello, a.k.a. Johnny Mandolin, has a CD called La Voce Mia. Order your copy today at johnnymandolin.com or call E. Rossi at 212-226-9254 and they'll hook you up. The Andy Troy Show has a Facebook group. Links to past shows are posted there along with pictures of all our past guests, so check it out. Finally, sponsors, we want them. If you'd like to promote your goods or services to our vast listening audience, contact the station or me directly at andyftroy@aol.com. And one final note before we get into the show, this is Memorial Day, so we would like to pay tribute to all the brave men and women who help represent our interests all around the globe. With that said, we are going to bring on our first guests, my good friend Nolé Marin, along with two outstanding male models. I believe the name is Jeff Tomsic. Is this right, Jeff?
Yeah, that's correct.
And, okay, this is going to be a little more challenging. Dan Duderstadt.
That's right.
Okay, I'm going to assume that's German. Is this correct, Dan?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit, okay. So, Nolé, we go way back. It's got to be at least 2 weeks now.
At least 2 weeks. And how are you doing tonight?
I'm okay. We met at a dinner party of our friend Jose.
Jose and Lady Betty. I don't know which one was the man and the woman, but it's all fabulous because they both are living wonderful and looking really good, too. And I love how sexual you are in the beginning about the book and the ageless stuff. This is genius. My favorite kind of show.
Okay. I pander to the lowest common denominator.
Hey, we're best friends now. I love it. Go ahead.
Okay. So, anyway, where are you from originally?
Born and raised in this wonderful city called New York, New York. Basically, the pavement of the city has been my playground from the very, very beginning. I was even, you know, my mom came here in the late 60s, met my dad, conceived me, and New York City has been my amazing playground of fashion, fun, and even more.
So you were conceptualized in New York City, is this correct?
100% original.
How about you two guys? Where are you from?
We come from a little bit different background than Nolé over here. Actually, we're both from Ohio. I'm from North Canton. It's a small town. I grew up, you know, born and raised.
French, fresh country boy, right?
Yeah, fresh country
like that.
Boy. Conservative, you know?
Conservative, okay. And what about you?
I'm a little more suburban than Dan over here. I'm a little further away from the city. So, you know, I grew up next to some farms and whatnot, a little town called Wadsworth. So
say that three times, Wadsworth.
That's right. It's a tough
so
one.
How did you discover these two young men, Nolé?
Well, actually, Jeff is a friend of mine. He's with Major Model Management. We just did my first editorial for Runway Magazine, which will be out very soon. And Dan is actually with VNY Model Management, where I scout. And they're both friends of mine. You know, being in the industry, your friends are all photographers, models, casting directors, etc. And I thought these two guys are kind of fun. They're kind of country, but I love how these guys are making it in the big city of New York City. And that's why I think they're here tonight to talk with me.
Well, I know that a lot of models have a reputation of being guys who don't like to get their hands dirty. But, Dan, weren't you like a garbage man or something?
Actually, that was Jeff over here.
Oh,
yeah,
Jeff.
No, that was me.
Hard for me to tell my models apart.
Yeah, no.
The blonde actually, one, basically.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah, I used to be a garbage man actually out of high school for about 2 or 3 years. I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do as far as college went, so I decided to get my hands a little bit dirty, And I ended up starting to get a pretty decent body on me, decided to go to a pro scout deal. And from there, I met my agent, David Love, and then from then on, it's kind of history through Bruce Weber, doing some Abercrombie shoots, meeting Kate Moss, shooting Vogel, stuff like that.
Was it difficult for you giving up the world of trash?
Well, you know, lunch was free, but other than that, I think it was pretty easy, actually.
So you're trying to tell me that I can get a body like that if I just picked up the trash all the time?
Yeah, you know, you throw around about 100,000 pounds of garbage, run behind the truck about 13 miles a day. You can eat pretty much whatever you want. I think Wendy's was my go-to on a day-to-day basis.
I see a line of videos now. Garbage Man.
The Garbage Man
boy.
Workout.
That's love it.
That's right. I don't know if it's as good as that bedroom workout you got, but you know, I try.
But just as trashy, though.
That's right.
God, I love this show.
Okay, so Nole,
what's up?
At what point did you develop an interest in fashion?
Oh, from the beginning. I mean, I've been a fashionista my entire life. I mean, my mom and dad would make fun of me how I would like look through the magazines at a very young age. I'm very visual. Auditorially, forget it. You know, it's all about visual stimulation for me. So I was
Perfect for the radio.
Exactly. You know, I always was like looking at magazines and knowing the names of the models and designers and things of that nature. And, you know, being in New York City, which is like complete, you know, fashion capital of the world, you know, just walking up and down Madison Avenue, I would see a fashion runway every day. So I knew by the time I was like 12, 13 that I was definitely going to be in this midst of the world of fashion.
So what was your first job in the industry?
My first job, believe it or not, was I was babysitting a young girl by the name of Marissa Gerber, and she was so beautiful and young, and she lived in my building, and I would take her when I was 17 years old to all the agencies, and I was trying to make her a model. And actually, Michael Flutie back at the time had a company called Company Model Management, Michael Flutie, and he signed her on, and from there I kind of became friends with a lot of models, and my first job was at It & Omar's in our, when was it, 91? 91 when I finished high school, 2 years before that, and I was an assistant booker. We had people like Antonio Sabato Jr., Wale, Tim Boyce, Nigel Barker, and I worked on the men's board. And from that, I went to producing fashion shows. From producing fashion shows, I started to become a stylist in 1995, and my first client was the amazing Claudia Schiffer, who really gave me my, you know, she kind of like catapulted me into fashion, and I was making like $0, and then all of a sudden I was making six figures in 1 year. I was doing L'Oreal, Citroën, Bulgari, Fashion Cafe, doing all the top leading, you know, fashion magazines, and just traveling with her like on a magic carpet ride. And then after that, you know, I worked with a lot of other amazing people like Tyra Banks. And then Tyra Banks, you know, launched me into this, you know, reality world, which was, you know, top model. And very, very fortunate, because back 7 years ago, the recipe for reality TV was really not formulated. So, you know, top model really was one of the first few reality shows that have launched this incredible thing called, you know, reality television. And when I started doing it, everyone told me not to do it. It's going to ruin your career. People won't take you seriously. You'll never work again in fashion. Fast forward to now, everyone, every photographer, every agent, every model, every housewife, every carpenter wants a reality show. And everyone that had told me not to do reality are all begging to be on reality shows or have now gone on to do reality. Because today, reality is just an amazing PR vehicle to do anything you want with your future.
So, former celebrity garbage man show?
I think that is the darn next thing.
Jeff?
Are you ready, Jeff, for that?
Are you up for that?
Yeah, I think I've always been ready.
Okay. Well, so I was on Tyra once, but
you were?
Yes, I was.
So sorry.
Yeah. Well, I
didn't see that episode.
Well, I'm going to email it to you, and I expect a full review.
Okay.
Well, so I didn't work with her nearly as closely as you did, I'm sure. What was she like to work with?
Well, you got to imagine, back in the day, she was still a model when I worked with her, but she was not the mogul that she is now. I haven't worked with her that closely in about 4 years or plus. She was an amazing woman. She was definitely down to earth, very, you know, casual. She definitely had her sense of flavor and her sense of style. She definitely knew what she wanted, and she kind of stuck to that. And she also really had a vision for what she wanted, and that's really why she has become so successful. Yes, she's smart. Yes, she's beautiful. But she's, you know, dedicated to her dream, and she keeps following it. And if we all do that, we all can be successful too.
By following her dream?
following our dreams that we have. You know, because people give up on your dreams. People, you know, lose focus on it. But she doesn't. She's very driven to finding that, you know, end point of what she wants, and she goes for it. Yeah.
So you were a judge on that show for a couple of cycles. How was that experience for you, would you say?
You know, it was fabulous. You know, here I was, you know, traveling around the world. I was going to Japan. I was going to Asia. I've been to Italy a million times. Going to Italy, I was, you know, saying nasty snide remarks to girls, calling them, you know, a chiffon and walrus, or she looked like she fell off a Dairy Queen truck. It was all fun. It was all lighthearted, all in good games. You know, me and Janice bickered. She would call me a whale. I would call her a plastic surgery freak of nature. It was fabulous, you know. Good cup of coffee. What do you think?
So that was Janice Dickerson you're talking about, right?
Janice,
out of one of the judges?
Dickinson, yes.
And you had some issues with her, I believe? Well,
me and her actually we're friends. You know, it was all for TV purposes. We do not hate each other. We never did. And it was just all in good play. I mean, if you look at, if everyone likes each other, how boring is that? You got to give them a little bit of, you know, kid in play or something, a little bit of drama. So I thought we spiced it up pretty much. And okay. I thought you did a good job.
I got to make note. Nole says they have to be meaner to my guests.
Yes, meaner.
Okay.
Draw us out.
Okay, Tubby. Whoa.
That's no. Right, boo-boo. Ooh.
Okay. Well, anyway, wait. Now, you were also a judge on Canada's Next Top Model, right?
No. I'm a creative director on Canada's Next Top Model. Okay. And I oversee all the photo shoots. J. Manuel is the Tyra Banks of the show, and I'm the J of the show.
Now, which country had hotter models?
Oof, I hate to say Canada.
Okay.
Canada. They're really hot, the girls there.
Okay, so Canada, yeah. A little frozen country full of blondes.
But you know, that frozenness makes you look younger and stay younger.
It preserves you.
You should know that.
That's right.
Come on, you have that book.
That's right. I stay frozen at all times.
And Neth, we won't discuss anything else, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, you were also a coach on a show called Made,
correct? I am the number one Maid coach in the history of MTV's Maid, 4 times. And it was amazing. I met this great kid named Chris Fronczak who needed to lose 40 pounds, and we accomplished that within 6 weeks. And because of that show, I was able to open up a MySpace account, and it made me find my supermodel of the world, Shawn O'Pry, who's become the fastest rising male model probably in the last 20 years of fashion and has gone on to be one of the highest grossing paid models in the world.
Now, what sets him apart from the rest?
Shawn O'Pry, he has an incredible face, and he has an incredibly powerful drive, and he's completely insane in all the right ways. But what keeps him up, what separates him from the average person is probably his drive, his incredible face. He's just extremely photogenic. And, you know, he's a normal guy, to be honest with you. He likes to do normal things, but he really wants it. And he really, you know, he doesn't say he wants it, but he definitely wants it. And he's just extremely photogenic. He has an incredible face, which is very hard to find.
Okay, we're going to come back shortly and hear from these three gentlemen again. But first, we're going to take an exciting commercial break.
Ooh.
Try to control yourself.
I will.
Not during the break.
Hi, this is Michael Bellotti of Bellotti Plays the Beatles and host of We the People, broadcasting in high definition stereo to the world.
Do you love jazz? Many people do. Hearing a good jazz player is very exciting. Seeing a virtuoso play is unbelievable. You can do both when you buy the new Larry Luger CD, The Larry Luger Trio, on Sexton Records. Larry's an amazing guitar player, composer, and performer. His new CD on the Sexton Records label, The Larry Luger Trio, is outstanding in its live performance and its wonderful compositions. You can also see Larry live at Notaro, a wonderful restaurant on Tuesday nights on 2nd Avenue between 34th and 35th Street, and at Saks in Astoria. Check out Larry Luger, the Larry Luger Trio, the new album on Sexton Records, that's C-E-X-T-O-N, at www.sexton.com, and check out Larry Luger at LarryLuger.com. Larry Luger, jazz guitar virtuoso.
Hi, this is Robbie Russell from the Garage Mania Show.
This is Nurse Cheryl.
Listen to Garage Mania Radio on the
Shitani Broadcasting Network.
High definition digital audio. Broadcasting to the world.
Okay, we're back with Nole, Jeff, and Dan. Now, Nole, you've worked with a lot of top photographers, right?
Yes, I have.
So who would you say some of your favorites were?
Oh, gosh, I've worked with so many. I don't want to say one in particular, but my favorite photographers are always the ones who get it, meaning that they understand the sense of fashion. And fashion to me is the entire image or picture, from the clothes to the makeup to the model or the actress or the actor that you're working with. There's been a few that I just really love. There's just so many. I just want to name out just one person in particular. But when you are a top photographer, you have the confidence, and when you walk on set, you know how to make everyone feel, you know, comfort and at ease.
And you've also been a contributing editor to some of the top fashion magazines. Tell us about that.
Oh, I've worked with so many. But let's talk about my new magazine called Runway, and it is going to be amazing. It's only going to be out 4 times a year this year, and following year, 6 times a year. And what Runway is basically the new generation of fashion. It's really finding new designers. It's finding new photographers. It's breaking out new top models. It's really, really exciting. It's beauty. It's fashion. It's celebrities. It's about what's happening in hot towns around the world. And like I say, it's Runway. It's the new way in fashion. It's not the new look in fashion. It's the new way in fashion. And Jeff is actually in one of our new issues, the newest issue that's coming out. We're having a huge party June 9th in Los Angeles. And we're having a huge party June 16th in New York with phenomenal photographer Marcus Klinko and his show. I think it's called Double Exposure.
Invited to this one so I can expose myself?
You can expose yourself as much as you want because you're fabulous like that. And you look amazing for your age, by the way. Your book must really work. I don't know what you're doing, but it looks good, I think.
I don't know what I'm doing either. But, that brings us back to me. That was a nice segue, Nole.
It's all about you, baby. Go ahead.
Now, I've never considered myself overly fashion conscious. Mm-hmm. But what could be done for a guy like me? Like, for example, here's a good question for you. This has always been a dilemma. I mean, I'm untucked today, but untucked. I know what's going on these days. I tuck sometimes. I've always tucked. What should I do?
Be careful when you say that in the village, because tuck means something else when you're in the West Village. But anyway,
I always wondered about what was going on.
Back to the fashion, and I think my boys Jeff and Dan can talk about this together. I think fashion is about easy, breezy, fabulous. It's about wearing a sexy pair of blue jeans, a sneaker, a shoe, you know, a button-down shirt, a blazer. I don't think you need to become a victim of fashion, because I hate that. That goes into that whole 1980s look when, you know, you wore Dolce or Prada head to toe. It's about really mixing low-end and high-end. It's about going to H&M, throwing on, you know, a high-end blazer or maybe a low-end blazer from... I mean, guys, where do you hot models shop? I mean, I always love how models look. Where do you guys go? I mean, I know, but you guys speak up and tell me, where do you guys go and shop?
I mean, I don't think it has to be, you know, these huge top designers. I always go, you know, with whatever feels comfortable. It's really more about feeling good on the inside, and that comes from the outside, and just selling whatever it is you choose to wear and having confidence about it.
That's right, Dan. Now, what about you, Jeff? What do you think?
Personally, I think that a lot of people think you have to wear the designer stuff, like Nole and Dan and yourself saying, but really that's not true. I think it's more or less about wearing what you're comfortable wearing. Everyone has their own style, and you know, it doesn't matter what you're wearing as long as you're comfortable in what you're wearing, because that's going to exude confidence, and confidence is the most important part to any outfit.
Well, I basically wear 2 color shirts, white and used to be white.
Oh, well, I think we need to change that. I think you should do white and maybe black, because the used to be white is not fabulous.
And I have my dress tank tops and my work tank tops. That's basically my wardrobe.
I don't believe that. I saw you for dinner a few weeks ago. You were dressed fabulous. You were wearing a button down. You had a nice pair of slacks on. You had a belt, which is shocking, which is chic, and you had a nice pair
of
shoes.
Look at this, right on. I have the belt on even underneath my untucked shirt.
You see, well, you know, you can untuck.
All my bases are covered.
You can untuck. It's okay about that.
Because I did go to a club in Cancun. I have to say, there were 2,000 people there. I was the only one with his shirt tucked in. That's when I knew I was too old for the room.
Oh, age is just a number. You know, age is just a number.
And yeah, but minus three digits. That's the problem.
Oh, well, you're looking good.
You were possibly the only one with style. Maybe that's what it was.
Maybe that's it.
I like these guys.
Turn
my new co-host.
Turn it around, baby. Turn it around.
Now, you were involved in something called True Beauty, too, weren't
you?
Yes. Actually, what was that about?
The premiere is tonight for second season two, which me and Cheryl are not on. Because as soon as they would have seen us three standing there with Vanessa, they would have known the show. That was a great show. Ashton Kutcher and Tyra Banks created it for ABC. And it was basically finding the inner beauty. It was not, these people thought on my first season was about finding the next top model. No, it was the next top model or something on that nature. I forget, to be honest with you. But it was really more about the inner beauty than the outer beauty. Season two is about, they're thinking it's looking for the new face of Vegas. So it was really wonderful because you really get to see people when they're at their worst and what they do, like passing someone who needs help on the street or opening up a door. You really just see people's behavior, their inner beauty. And that's what the show is really about, was finding the person's inner beauty had nothing to do with their outer beauty at all.
Okay, well, this, take a look at me. This is the face of, just got back from Atlantic City. How does this look?
Well, let me see. Oh, I mean, no comment.
Okay. Well, moving right along. So, I also an interesting topic for me, being I'm an animal lover, and Betty here, my engineer, as we know, is also
Betty, good
savior
Betty.
Of cats. You have like 9 dogs, I read.
Have, in my personal residence, I have 2 dogs and 3 little cats. My mom has 5 little dogs, and my best friend has 4 dogs, so 3 dogs. So it averages out to be 9 to 10 dogs per year. But I do adore animals, and if I was, you know, capable, I would definitely have some sort of dog shelter or rescue, because I do believe in animals, and I do believe in getting them neutered and getting them spayed, and I do believe in making sure they have their teeth cleaned and their vet checkups. But animals to me are a very big part of my life, because they're just such an amazingly, you know, loving animal, and I just love, you know, waking up with my 2 French bulldogs and my 3 cats on my head. It's just genius.
If you ever want a really amazing experience, there's
something Let's
called
go.
Paws and Claws in the Poconos, where you get to feed and pet a full-grown giraffe. Now that's something.
I was not expecting that at all.
That was quite the jump.
Yes.
Well, see, we got you out of the West Village and into the Poconos.
Yes,
that's what
now
happened.
I'm in the Poconos. Okay.
What happened to the dogs?
Yeah, what happened to the dogs? So what about the horse?
So what we're finding out is he doesn't really like wildlife. He likes wildlife.
Now, I like cats and dogs. Okay, let's stop there.
Okay. Well, anyway,
I had a pet possum
for a while.
No.
Little Sereno.
That's a cool name, Sereno, for a possum.
Figured he had a long nose.
Being a garbage man, I got to tell you, I hate possums.
Right?
That's the last thing you want to find inside a garbage can, so I got to tell you.
Hey, Dan, did you guys eat possums back home on the farm?
You know what? That's kind of a...
I'm going to throw up.
You know, that's one of the favorite meals that we have over there.
Gross.
You know, you got Rackham Raccoon, all that stuff. So that's all we eat out there.
Blech.
Okay. Well, so we're getting away from his high-protein diet for a minute now. I understand, Nole, someone's writing a book about you, right? How cool is
that? Actually, Deborah Gregory created a line of books called Catwalk, and I am the... She didn't write it for me. She dedicated the first novel to me. The first character, Nole Cannoli, is based on me. And it's about these kids going to fashion industry high school, and they have this competition at the end of the year, which is kind of like a fashion show, and the winner goes to Milan, Paris. And actually, at the present time, what's the network? Is it... Nickelodeon is actually going to be doing a series on the books right now. So it's going to be quite successful. And I will have a small cameo at the end of the season as a judge. Very funny, huh?
Stepping out of character as a judge,
just
huh?
a little bit. But let's talk about my 2 movies that I'm doing. That's what I really want to talk about.
Okay, lay it on us.
It's all about Under the Influence, but now it's called Under 12. Chris Long is the director, and they have some incredible new talent, you know, signed on for it. They start filming it in upstate New York end of June into July. And we're going to see maybe Mr. Jeff and maybe Mr. Dan is going to have a small role in this film, because they're going to both be breaking out of the world of modeling over the next few seasons into acting.
I thought I saw him breaking out.
Well, look at this guy. He's genius. I love him. Anyway, then we have another movie called Kick, which is going to be an incredible movie, and I have a small role in that. And there's a few other things coming going along with the TV and film world besides doing some, you know, writing some reality shows. I'm writing two films that I'm pitching out to people. But, you know, Under 12 is really going to be a big break, and it's really going to be Kick, and my friend Angela Galicio over at GG Talent, she's been hooking me up with some great stuff. And let me ask you two male models, if you don't mind. How do you guys like to transfer into modeling into maybe movies? Dan?
Well, honestly, that's my ultimate goal. I'd like to take modeling as far as I can. It's an awesome industry. It's really, you know, I'm trying to push it as far as I can. But at the end of the day, it's one of the best ways to transition into TV and film. You meet so many people in the casting industry and directors, designers, and it's really just the best place to be for all opportunities that you can get yourself.
That's true. And Jeff?
I think that modeling is a really good stepping stone into getting into acting. You know, you get used to the cameras, you meet a lot of people. So, you know, acting is a tough deal, and if you can conquer yourself or you can conquer things in front of the camera and, you know, networking with people through modeling, then you could definitely go ahead and transition into the acting stuff. You know, everything takes time, and I'm willing to, you know, be patient and do whatever it is I have to do to try and get to the next level.
Study hard. Study
okay.
Hard.
So, Nole, before we... Yes. Let you go, because I'm sure you're a busy man with many exciting things.
Well, you know, the limousine's waiting outside, so come on, let's go.
Is that what they're calling those yellow cabs now?
No, it's a true limousine, trust
me. Do you have a limo?
Well, no, it's a tricycle. Leave it alone.
How come I don't get a ride in any limos? Okay, anyway, so what else do you have on the horizon? Give us a quick rundown of what's happening.
Really right now it's all about Nole Marin Model Workshops that are going to be going to 8 different states across the country and in 2 states in Canada, and I'm going to teach you how to model. You're going to learn how to walk, style, get a great few pictures out of it, a lot of other things, bringing in wonderful designers, agents from around the country. They're going to be like 2 to 3 day workshops. Of course, we have Under 12, we have Kick, the movie that I start to work on this summer. Runway Magazine is really the big breakout. And just a few other things, still scouting for VNY Model Management. We have a few new stars on the horizon. Lana Winters is the owner of VNY. Sean O'Price still just taking off. And helping out my friends over here, Jeff and Dan, to take it to the next level and
That's
a lot
right.
more.
Now, I'm only 5'10". Are you doing any midget modeling?
Well, I think the midget modeling definitely is going to be coming out soon, and I think that's definitely going to be probably a VH1 show. So I think we definitely can make you probably one of the lead midgets on that. What do you think?
I could break out my collection of fashionable tank tops and get on there?
You know what? Absolutely.
I'm going Brooklyn on you.
Brooklyn all the way.
Got a problem with that?
Not at all, bro.
Okay.
He can even judge for you.
That's right.
Okay. We've got a whole show here, folks. We're going to go to commercial break, write up a synopsis, and we'll be right back. Oh, by the way, before we go, contact info, guys.
NoleMarin@yahoo.com.
I'm Dan Duderstadt, and I'm with VNY Model Management. Just check us out over there.
Jeff Thompson again. You can contact me through Major Models, or also I do my commercial stuff through Innovative.
Okay, it was great meeting you guys. Great seeing Nole as always.
Always. We have to have a dinner soon.
Right on, Andy.
I'm hungry. Let's okay. Go.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, you.
Baby.
Okay,
thank you.
We'll be back.
You're listening to the Centanni Broadcasting Network.
High definition digital stereo.
Broadcasting to the world.
When somebody loves you, it's no good unless he loves you all the way.
You are listening to the voice of Sal Manzo. If you would like to hire Sal at your next affair, contact him through his website at www.salmanzo.com. With Sal, you need no one else but him. He is a one-man show that takes care of the singing, hosting, and dance music of every era. He is available in the tri-state area and beyond. Once again, the website is www.salmanzo.com.
That's how deep it goes. if it's real.
Looking for a great time that's both fun and educational? Join the New York Spanish Language Meetup. Immerse yourself in both language and culture. Have fun and make tons of amigos. All levels of Spanish from zero to native speakers are welcome. We've got events for all. We are a wonderful community that enjoys Spanish conversation and culture events in Spanish. Being a member is free. We have 5 to 7 events per month that includes informative Spanish conversational events in Manhattan and Brooklyn, beginners, intermediate, and advanced monthly Spanish conversational workshops, private movie events in Spanish with English subtitles. At those events, time is always set aside to have fun while socializing and practicing Spanish. Events that explore Hispanic culture like guided museum tours and walking tours in Spanish. Other activities include parties, theater, dance, concert, food, and more. Remember that you don't have to speak Spanish to enjoy the Spanish language meetup group. Please join us at SpanishConversation.org. Again, it is SpanishConversation.org.
Hello, I'm Angela Carrier, and you're listening to my CD, Italian Festival Favorites. You'll find me at ItalianFestivalFavorites.com. You're listening to the Centani Broadcasting Network. Centani in Italian means 100 years. In English, it means great music.
We're back. It's going to be hard to top that last segment, but we've got a guy with plenty to say, and his name is Frank. Is it Viale? Viale? What is this? Why doesn't anyone have a name I can pronounce?
It's like 3 letters, V-L-E.
How come there's no Joneses on this show? Who picks these guys? Oh, I do. That's right. Anyway, so Frank is with a band called the Manhattan Project, and he has Eddie Arjun Peters. Thanks for the Peters, Eddie. That's easy
You're
for me.
You're welcome. You're very welcome.
Okay. So we'll start with what instruments do you guys play?
I sing and play guitar.
And Eddie?
I play lead guitar.
Okay, so we got 2 guitarists. Thanks for the variety. Right? Okay.
For you, so, the highest mountain. Don't worry about it.
How old were you guys when you started playing?
Well, I actually started playing drums at like the age of 5. But then I stopped.
And that
playing.
Worked out so well that you're a guitarist now, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. No, I actually started playing guitar at like 12, 13.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Frank?
I had an Elmo tambourine when I was 2. Okay. And I kind of moved up from there.
How'd that work out for you?
I got to tell you, I am one mad tambourine player. Like you won't believe. Like jazz fusion tambourine. Hardcore.
Actually, you know, you scoff, but I actually saw one of the greatest tambourine players and spoons players of all time in this like Middle Eastern band. I couldn't believe the stuff this guy was doing. It was really quite outstanding.
I'd like to see it.
Okay. Well,
the question is he using the Elmo tambourine?
Well, if you brought it down, I'm willing to bet he would get, you know, he would work it into the show.
You know, the problem is I don't know where it is anymore. I got to start searching eBay for one. I really want one real bad.
Okay, anybody with news on an available Elmo tambourine, contact the show. Now, when you guys first got into this, in particular you, Frank, was your family supportive of this, of you being a musician? Or did they want you to be a garbage man like our last guest?
Close. You know, it's a funny, funny thing. It's... I never had a family that said, no, don't play music. No, my family had really involved
you
in
You never
industry.
Had a family out of how many families? You know, none of them were like that?
Family member, multiple families. A big family, Italian family. So you can't all put them in one family. It's like a bunch of them, you know?
Okay.
I mean? And each one has their own opinion. And it's, how do you put it?
I guess he is at a loss for words.
No, well, not quite. Just try to find the right words. You know, I'm on the radio. I can't use much vulgarity as I use in the real world.
Sure, break it out.
That's covered by the FCC.
Well, anyways, I can say that they've always said, oh, it's a good hobby, it's a good hobby, it's a good hobby. But not until recent have they gotten worried where, you know, I'm out on the road half the week or half the month, half the year. I'm out on the road nowadays. So it's now they're starting to see that it's a viable career. So they're less telling me it's a hobby and they're more telling me make sure you save money.
Okay. And Eddie, what about you? Is your family behind you on this endeavor?
Yeah, my parents were always very supportive. My father's actually a singer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he definitely had my back.
Good. So your father was a backup singer, basically. Okay. Off the top of my head, folks. But anyway, so who were your musical influences, man?
Me.
No, not you. Tell me who Eddie's musical influence is. Yes, you. Tell us something.
I kind of. No, this is the same question they asked in that. You ever seen the movie That Thing You Do?
No, I didn't. I don't get out much.
You're missing out. So they're a rock band. And they do that one scene where they're all in at their first radio interview.
Oh, was this about, what was the name, like Anvil or something?
No, it's with Tom Hanks.
Oh, okay.
It's a really funny movie about the one-hit wonder. The band is the Wonders, and they're being one-hit wonders. And there's that one scene where he goes, what's your favorite band? And everybody starts giving all these, you know, folk stars and jazz stars. And then they had just finished doing a movie where they had to play a different band. Called Captain Geach and the Shrimp Shack Shooters. And then there's the drummer who's the goofball in the band. He goes, yeah, my biggest influence was Captain Geach and the Shrimp Shack Shooters. And nobody gets it, but it's the funniest, like, driest scene of the whole movie, and I love it. So I'm going to go with my favorite influence is Captain Geach and the Shrimp Shack Shooters.
Are there any other influences, right?
Absolutely.
Name someone you like. Name Absolutely. Someone I've heard of.
Jimi Hendrix, Band of the Gypsies Hendrix. Album.
Okay, that's good. Good choice.
For old artists, obviously Jimi Hendrix, a lot of the staples, Bob Dylan, grew up on Sam Cooke and Otis Redding.
That's really
the stuff. Those are the stuff that gets me going for the old stuff. And then the new stuff, really big into Ray LaMontagne. I've seen Dave Matthews as of Friday 110 times live.
Really?
Yep.
That's disturbing. Are you a stalker?
No, absolutely not. When I was a kid, you know, I had a buddy who was 16 and a half, had his license. I was not quite 16 yet, and we used to play that game where I'd tell my mom I'm sleeping at his house, and he'd tell his mom he's sleeping at my house, and then we'd just hop in his old, beat-up, rusty brown van and just follow Dave Matthews. And it was back in the day when he was doing, like, 3 and 4 nights in one venue. So you can go to, like, you know, you can see him 3 times in Saratoga, 3 times in Camden, 3 times in Manhattan, 3 times in Connecticut. So you could outlead that lead the Tri-State area and see him, like, 27 times.
So you're trying to say you're a Dave Matthews fan.
Yeah.
Used but to it took a while time. To get that out of you as an influence, which I find interesting.
Well, you know, it's...
What about the bands that you saw 120 times? Do you prefer them? Well, anyway, so what was your first band like?
My first band?
Yes.
Oh, that's a loaded gun of a question. I had many. I was that kid that always wanted to meet other musicians. Like, hey, you play spoons? Want to be in a band? You know, hey, hey, your dad's a guitar in the basement. Want to play in my band? I always wanted to be in a band. It was just the funnest thing. And
well, the first band that you actually performed with, let's take that. Your first time on stage, what was this like?
I was in a cover band called Speed Limit 30.
Okay.
We actually, my first gig ended up being at a famous rock club in Connecticut called Toad's Bliss.
That we got bumped from there. My band in the 80s, The Shades, back in the 80s, we were scheduled to play at Toad's Bliss. We got bumped by a band called Aztec Two-Step.
Oh, no.
I'm bitter to this day.
Wow. Terribly sorry.
It's a sad story, isn't it?
Meanwhile, I was on stage.
And you performed there.
Yeah, I was 16.
The place has really gone downhill.
Absolutely. I was 15 years old covered in Blink-182 on stage.
This guy is doing, like, cover songs at 15, and I got kicked out of that place before I even got there, and it's end of my career. Anyway, so okay, so that was your first band, and was this like what kind of crowd are we talking about? Substantial in size?
I mean, I joined it. They were a garage band. It was a start.
No, but I mean the show. I want to hear about the show.
Well, the show was great. It was like a benefit show.
Okay.
So it was like, you know, 11 bands. Everybody brought their 40 people, their families and friends. And so we played it for a couple hundred people. It was a lot of fun. And that's kind of when I got the bug. I was like, this is good. This is cool. You know, I was an athlete my whole life. So I've always, you know, been used to, you know, playing in front of crowds or, you know, being somewhat, you know, in front of, you know, an audience. And music just always came naturally.
What did you play? You were built like a little bit like a football guy.
11 years of football, absolutely.
Okay.
middle linebacker and fullback.
And this high school, college, what are we talking about?
I played 7 years Pop Warner and 4 years high school.
Oh, okay. I was a football player too, but wanted to be a defensive end at 5'10".
No go.
125 pounds at the time in junior high school, and as you could imagine, my career was a short one.
Yes, a DN, definitely.
But anyway, with this band that we're talking about here, the Manhattan Project, how did you guys get together?
Another large VH1 Behind the Music type story.
There was a lot of death and misery. That's what they like.
Just
on
a lot
VH1.
Of twists and turns. Twists and turns. You know, you ever seen the movie The Replacements? With Keanu Reeves. It's a football movie.
I don't think I did.
We gotta get you a Netflix subscription. You're over two.
I have one.
Really?
I saw this Dave Matthews video 120 times. That's all I get.
Nice. Which one is that? I probably have it on Blu-ray.
Anyway, so okay, the Manhattan Project. How did it get? How did it form?
Well, it started. I made an acoustic. I used to write songs for and play the guitar and a bunch of other instruments for another singer songwriter, and or just a singer actually for that matter. And it kind of ended badly, like one of those stereotypical rock and roll endings where this is my mic stand, give it back type deal, and all that kind of stuff. And I had recorded all these instrumental tracks in my basement that he was supposed to sing on. And then I was broke up with the band, came home from college for the weekend, sat in the guitar stand and started just jamming on a guitar, you know, just kind of getting the aggression out. And a guy that worked there got interested, had a recording studio. The next day I brought those tracks and I recorded on. He said, oh, I like them. Come back tomorrow. I came back. He had added drums and bass and other instrumentation to it. He said, sing on them now. And I was like, I really hadn't sung outside my shower before. And but I gave it a shot. Came out really well. I had an acoustic record. And that record ended up getting some radio play in Europe and stuff like that out of nowhere. Just, you know, the magic of the internet. You put it out there and people just really seemed to like it. And then I was like, wow, I need to put together a band. And so I was in college at this time up in Poughkeepsie, New York. And there, you know, wasn't a whole lot of, you know, wasn't a music school by any means. So it was one of those situations where it's like, okay, you play drums, guess what, you're in my band, here's what you do. Okay, you play bass, kind of, here, you play guitar, but it's kind of like bass, all right, you come play bass. And it was one of those kind of things. There was a guy who played sax when he wanted to join the band, and that's really kind of how music evolved. Started gigging on that, I used to work at a CMash, and there was always a guy who was a phenomenal bass player, just coming in, show up in the store. I was like, I'm going to get him someday.
So this was kind of all-star musicians, basically, is what you had. Here's an instrument. Bang on it a little, see what happens.
That's how it started. But then I started touring with those guys.
And what was this band called? Draft picks.
The Manhattan Project.
This was the origin of the Manhattan Project.
The origin, yes.
Was it called that back then, though?
Yes.
Okay.
The original reason was called The Project, or Manhattan Project. The word project kind of meant that it was a revolving door. Different musicians, depending on what state I played in, you know, where I was going, that kind of deal. If I was in New York, I had a drummer that lived in the New York area. If I was in Connecticut, I had one that lived in the Connecticut area. Yes. It was one of those deals. Okay. So I would do that. And then after a while, I finally, came to the situation where I had the guys I really wanted to be with. And we put out an album.
All right. Well, what we're going to do now is go to a commercial break. And when we come back, we are actually going to hear from the Manhattan Project. What would you say is your signature song there?
Right.
What is your most popular tune?
That's a load of gum of question as well. I'm actually going
to
go with track 3.
Everything seems to relate to weapons with you. What part of Brooklyn are you from, by the way?
Not from Brooklyn at all. But it is... We're going to go with track 3, Anticipation.
Anticipation is making me wait. But anticipate that while we go to commercial break.
Would you like to know what's going on in the Italian-American community and stay in touch, even if you don't live in Little Italy? There's a way to do it. There's a great newspaper out called GIA, the Giornale Italo-Americano. This newspaper is distributed nationally and comes out weekly, and you can subscribe by going to their website at www.giamondo.com, that's GIAMONDO.com, or call 718-592-2196. Check out GIA for all your information on what's happening in the Italian-American community. It's published in both Italian and English. It's a great way to read and follow up and practice your Italian as well. Check out GIA on the internet at www.giamondo.com. GIA newspaper, the Italian-American newspaper for today.
Hi, this is Roger Russell from the Garage Mania Show. 60s, 70s garage psych and funk you can't hear anywhere else. Mixed in with a lot of fun.
This is Nurse Cheryl. Listen to the Garage Mania Show on the Shetani Broadcasting Network.
High definition digital audio
broadcasting to the world.
You want to know which teeth?
We're back with Frank and Eddie and the Manhattan Project. Okay, Frank, this song's called Anticipation. Is this correct?
Yes, it is.
And what was the... You wrote this song?
Yes, I did.
And what was your motivation?
I had a girl coming over from a long trip the following morning, and I was cleaning the apartment, and I was anticipating her arrival for many reasons. You know, when you have a girl coming over, and you're making the house look really nice, and you know, you get the candles going. It never looks that good.
I moved some of the junk over to the other side of the room.
Exactly. That whole day, stuff, everything under the bed, like in the cartoons, when they close the door, everything pops back out again. Right. Absolutely. And so while I was doing that, I was... I actually, the real story, which I never really told before, so this is a sneak peek for you guys,
okay.
Is that I had a cousin who was working up in the ceiling, and he was installing insulation. And he used to be a DJ. We were kind of, you know, breaking him off the insulation, and then the word insulation turned into anticipation, and anticipation turned into a song.
Okay. Well, we are now going to hear Anticipation and see what you think. Hello, folks. We're back, and I just received a text message that said, I like the music, so consider that yes. A new fan.
It's been a successful evening, absolutely.
Someone from an institution just wrote to me. I don't know how they get a hold of my number, but You got to stop leaving it for them. Okay, anyway, so you got some shows coming up. Is this correct? We want to hear all about that.
Yes, it is. I got tons of shows coming up, actually.
I think we want to hear about it from Eddie, too. Eddie, tell us the next show that you guys are playing.
We're playing at the... We're opening up for the Whalers.
Yes, at the Fairfield next Theater Company in Connecticut.
Exactly. Two nights.
Tomorrow.
Two nights, no waiting.
Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yep. Okay.
So tomorrow and the next day. So those are really exciting. And then we'll actually... We're going to tear after that really cool experience. We're going to head to the Hamptons for that weekend. This Saturday, we'll be at Magic's Pub in West Hampton Beach.
And when is that?
It's this Saturday, the 5th.
This Saturday.
So we got three gigs in the New York area this week.
Okay, so you Hamptonites, get your Hamptoning in this weekend. Because I need you back here on the 18th for my animal rescue fundraiser.
Absolutely.
More exciting details of that coming up soon. But, okay, so... those are your next three shows. Give us some contact info, because before we go off on a tangent, I want people to know how to get a hold of you.
All right. Well,
don't tell me it's a loaded question, or
There are
911.
There are millions of websites nowadays, but there's www.frankvlemusic.com, and I'm going to spell my last name for you new listeners. It's VLE, which is V as in Victor, I-E-L-E. So that's frankvlemusic.com. Then there's myspace.com/frankvlE. There's facebook.com/frankvlE. And then there is also we have a YouTube channel, which is the coolest thing now, youtube.com/FrankVNTMP, as in and the Manhattan Project. So there's tons of cool live videos up there, some acoustic stuff, and yeah, having a lot of fun with it. A lot of stuff online, check out.
Hey, do you have any CDs that we could pick up if we wanted to?
Well, you just streamed Anticipation, which is one of the singles off our first full-length international released album called Neon Lights, and that officially hits the streets on July 13th. Via, you know, iTunes, Amazon, all these standard stores, that whole works. But if you want it before then, if you want to be in the know, come to a show and we'll hook you up.
Now, I'm a little out of the scene. Do people actually sell CDs anymore, or is all of this kind of iTunes thing going on?
I'd say about, it depends on where you are as a band. If you're in a situation where you already have your fan base and you're still a largely independent style band, I'd say a strong majority is going to come through the internet. Some hard copy sales for the internet, but mostly, you know, iTunes, that whole deal. If you are an emerging touring band and you're making your fans, you know, kind of the old-fashioned way, one at a time on the road, if your CDs are low price enough, you tend to sell a lot more, actually, at the shows. And then, of course, talk about loaded gun of a question. I'm learning as I go as well. And a lot of times nowadays, the best way to get music out there is to get it on TV shows, movies, all that kind of stuff. So is anybody
occasionally
out there?
On the odd radio show.
Exactly. And then, you know, having it available online, that instant access seems to work out pretty well.
Okay. Any thoughts from you, Eddie? Because we're winding down on the show and we haven't heard enough about you. There's a need to know.
Frank's
You're
the
a mystery
man.
To
he's,
us.
He's the man with all the information, yeah. Frank's I'm the mystery got, guy.
That's, where are you from originally, Frank?
I'm actually from a New Haven area of Connecticut originally.
Oh, so that's how you ended up in Toad's place.
Exactly.
So how come you sound so Brooklyn?
I watched The Sopranos too much.
So if you see a Brooklyn-sounding guy with a really chewed-up baseball cap, you're usually talking Connecticut, is what you're telling me.
Possibly. I don't know. I'm a labyrinth, I guess, in many ways. You won't know many things about me until the autobiography comes out in 30 years.
30 years we have to wait for that. Who knows what the medium will be at that point?
I don't know what's next after the iPad.
It will just appear in your head, I think. There's Kindle now. You know, that's the whole thing. I put out a record, they stopped having records. I wrote a book, they don't have books anymore. I don't know what's going on. What's happening with my career?
You're swinging for the fences with a wiffle ball bat, huh?
I was relying on Beatrice to keep me up on all the trends. That's, by the way, how did you hook up with my friend Beatrice? Quickly, tell us. That's their PR person who's hovering in the background.
Absolutely. Thanks for all the help, B.
Hey, B.
You got it.
Hey, B, if I get you a new client online, do I get a free week?
So how'd you meet Beatrice, quickly?
I met Beatrice through this wonderful tangled web of music industry that we call. Picked up a new manager by playing in-store at a small little clothing store in New Haven, right down the street from Toots. When I was there, a guy who walked through was impressed with what I was doing, sent a video to a music manager in Atlanta, Georgia, who then contacted me, and I had a new manager. And I said to the manager, I need a publicist. And he said, well, I know this artist who works with this artist who works with Beatrice. And Beatrice lives in New York, and you live an hour, 10 minutes from New York. Beatrice should be your publicist. And I said, eh, sure, why not?
Quite a dramatic little story there.
Absolutely. Tangled webs. Absolutely.
That we're leaving that out of behind the music. Okay. Well, it's been great seeing you guys. We are going to be leaving you now. I want to thank my friend Nole and the boys for joining us, as well as Frank VLA. Is that correct?
VLE.
We will be back next week with more exciting programming, but for now, we are gone.
You want to know which teacher your kids are most likely to choose as a role model this year in school? I'm Donnie Osmond, and it's the person who teaches them about music. Not sports, or English, or history. Music. Are you surprised? Well, you shouldn't be, because music teachers have always played an important role in the lives of their students. They help our kids tap into their natural creativity. They teach them about cooperation and self-discipline. It's a bonus that when kids have learned about scales and clefs, they find math and English concepts easier to grasp. That's because of how music education expands a young person's spatial IQ. Reading poetry or solving an equation is easier if kids know their sharps and flats, and that's a fact. Help your kids get to know their music teacher at school. Get them involved in music this year.
A PSA brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, and the National Anthem Project, the campaign to restore America's voice through music education. Music, part of a sound education.
Hi, this is Dolores from Vinny's Dino. We love listening to Mark Shoemaker and Mike the Announcer on IYF Radio. Those guys say it like it is.
Hey, waitress, coffee.
Hey, I'm talking here. What's the matter? Didn't your mother feed ya? So tune in to IYF Radio on the Shentani Broadcasting Network.
Coffee, coffee.
Be quiet. I'll put a fork in your eye. So listen to Mark and Mike at IYF Radio on the Shentani Broadcasting Network.
Hi, I'm Janice Ian. Do you remember how excited you were at the start of summer every year, and how the summer just started to drag on after a few months and you couldn't wait to get back to school, see your old friends, make new friends, get new books and a new locker and a clean slate? Well, you should have been excited about music class too, because that was a special room where you went to sing, perform with your friends, and learn all kinds of interesting stuff about great composers, instruments, different kinds of music and songs. We remember our music teachers because they were so passionate about helping us learn to love music. They helped to spark a love for listening to notes and voices and rhythms that continues to enrich our lives even today. I bet your kids feel the same way about music class. Ask them, and make sure they get involved with music in school and in their lives.
A PSA brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, and the National Anthem Project, the campaign to restore America's voice through music education. Music, part of a sound education.